Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Debbie, for that song. Open your Bibles to Hebrews in chapter 11. Hebrews in chapter 11, my understanding is we are going to have a baptism today. So after this meeting will not be over until we have the baptismal service. So praise the Lord for that. We rejoice. Quick shout out to my sister in Michigan and Donnie and Brad, who are tuning in special live and in color for this message. They may regret doing that, but whatever. We are in Hebrews in chapter 11. I'm going to read the text. Then I'm going to give you a brief outline of the direction of this message this morning, and then we'll give the message. So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right, that's the text. We'll be returning to it shortly, but I want to give you a brief outline. I'm going to give an introduction to this text. I'm also going to talk about the main point here. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I'm going to show by the grace of God through Scripture the necessity of faith, the definition of faith, the source of faith, the longing of faith, and then lastly, examples of faith that we can follow, hopefully. All right, so that's the outline. Some people are going to be happy about that. Others are wondering why I even bother, but whatever. Here it is. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you're a believer, you ought to be interested in pleasing God. If you're not a believer, you ought to get interested in pleasing God, because one day, whether you like it or not, whether you're happy about it or not, you're going to bow down and confess that he is indeed Lord of all. So I would encourage you to figure out how to please God. We have this example in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He says over in John in chapter 8, he says this, "The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Now that's a testimony. That is the example. We are commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to take up our cross and follow him. And what he did, he followed the Father, and he was obedient to him in all things. That ought to be the goal of everyone here this morning. I hope it's your goal to obey all things of the Father and do those things that please him. And we're going to see shortly one of the things that pleases God. We have some concrete evidence in the Scriptures. One of the things that pleases God is faith. In fact, he says, without faith, you cannot please me. So I think that's very important. In the book of Proverbs, it says it this way, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." There are some benefits in pleasing God. Nobody likes enemies. Do you like enemies? I don't like enemies. Do you like fights and scuffles and... I don't even like arguing with my wife, yeah? So... yeah, so please the Lord. That would be a benefit. It ought to be a goal to please the Lord, because pleasing the Lord comes with benefits. Amen. So people go out and get a new job and they want to know, are there any benefits? Well, there's some benefits in pleasing the Lord, and without faith it's impossible to please him. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said it this way, "No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life," why is that? "That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." God has chosen us to be soldiers. One of the things that people don't like our church about, it's amazing that somebody wouldn't like our church. We're so wonderful. I mean, we're just all these fantastic people. But there are people that don't like our church. Why? Because we sort of have a demand that, and then, and an ambition that all of us would be soldiers of Christ. Amen. Did you know not everybody's in the army? Right. Have you been in the army? Any veterans here? Why don't you stand up if you're a veteran? We'll give you the honor. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your service. We appreciate that. Aren't you glad somebody's willing to serve?
Yes.
Aren't you glad some soldiers came knocking at your door one day? Soldiers of the cross.
Yeah, amen.
They came knocking at your door and they took out the sword of the Spirit and they swung it around and they won you and convinced you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need some soldiers of faith.
Amen.
And if you're a soldier, I believe God's called us all to be soldiers. And I like that sign that Brother Brian put up there above the door out here. I hope you've seen it. You're now entering into the mission field. We're soldiers of Christ and we have the command of God. Our commander, the Lord Jesus Christ, says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And what a message we have. We got a message that's good news that Christ came in the world to save sinners. I'm happy about that because I'm a sinner. I'm thankful that he saved me. But what does our text say? It says by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Wouldn't that be amazing? I think Jesus said something about this over in John chapter 11. If you believe me, you'll live forever. He is what? The resurrection and the life.
Amen.
Along that lines, he says that God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he did what? He pleased God. How about that testimony?
Amen.
I would love to have that testimony. I don't know about that, Brent. He had a lot of weaknesses, a lot of problems, but you know what? He pleased God.
Yeah.
Boy, that would be a great testimony,
yes.
Wouldn't it?
Yes.
You put that on my gravestone if it's true. He lived his life to please God.
Amen.
Wow. Yeah, but now, without faith, it is impossible to please God, to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, you don't get to choose how you're going to please God. Now, husbands and wife have this issue quite often. I made the dinner. I'm sure it's going to please you. Well, honey, I don't like sauerkraut and weenies. Some people do. I won't mention any names. Yeah, 3 days in a row even sometimes, yeah. We don't get to choose what pleases God. But thankfully, God told us what pleases him. Men, tell me if this is true. You ask your wife, what would you like? And she says, you should know. Just tell me. Don't keep it a secret. Let me know what pleases you so that I can do it. Yeah? God did that. He said, I'm going to let you know what pleases me. It's faith. Faith. It's not a secret.
Thank you, Lord.
It's not a secret. He's not hiding it. It's not a mystery. He says, I want to see some faith that would make me happy.
Amen.
That would please me.
Amen.
Do you want to please God? Have some faith.
Amen.
Why is this necessary? Well, among other things that should be obvious, we sing a little song here. It's actually a scripture that we sing. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You ever sing that song? Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The only time I get to sing is if I'm preaching, so. They're not going to let me sing. But God is invisible. If he's invisible, it's going to be take a little bit of faith, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you know if you see it, that's not faith? Think about it.
Right.
There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians. They have to see something before they believe. Well, that's not the faith that God's looking for.
Right.
A lot of people carry a little cross around their neck so they can believe. Or they go to a building and they bow down before an image so that they can believe. Or they go to a priest where they can see, confess, and hear. They want to see something. Well, listen, if you see it, it's not faith. It's called sight. We walk by faith and not by sight, is what the Apostle Paul said. Now, I don't criticize those that have, I understand perfectly why they go to a church or carry around a cross or a crucifix or have images on a wall or do pilgrimages or confess to a priest, because they know something that is explicitly stated in the scriptures, that without faith it's impossible to please him. They know that. And they know they don't have faith, so they're looking, they're grasping at straws, looking for a way to get some faith, because they know that without faith it's impossible to please God. Amen. Now you gotta appreciate that.
Amen.
Even though it's an erroneous way, it's a false way, you cannot please God by sight.
Right.
You have to please him by faith. And if you see an image or see a priest, my friend, that's not faith, that's sight. But I'm glad you want to have faith. That's good. Let's find out how to do that. Let's figure out a way that we can have some faith in order to please God. There's another reason. Jesus himself said God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. In other words, without images. Without a physical priest. Our priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have to do that by faith. But what is faith? In Hebrews in chapter 11, if you go back to verse 1, he says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." There's your definition of faith. Faith is the ground or confidence of the things we hope for. It is the foundation of the things we hope for. Faith gives reality to the things we hope for. It is the opposite of what is unreal or elusive. Faith is the concrete evidence that gives us confidence in God. The American Presbyterian clergyman Albert Barnes, by the way, he was a great man. He was an abolitionist, and he was a supporter of temperance. Both of good are good things. Did you know, this is a rabbit I'm chasing, but it's free information. It's like a free commercial. We're going to pause here. Did you know Christianity was the leading factor in the abolition of slavery? Did you know that? It was Christian leaders that said, enough of this. And throughout all world history, it was Christian leaders that got it abolished in England and America. And then that spread around the world. I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
Now back to the broadcast. Anyway, Albert Barnes, this an American Presbyterian clergyman, said this about the text. He said, "We do not see the things of eternity. We do not see God or heaven or the angels or the redeemed in glory or the crowns of victory or the harps of praise, but we have faith in them. Faith leads us to act as if we saw them. It gives reality to the things we hope for." I liked his definition, and therefore I quoted it. It gives us reality to the things we hope for. It is the substance of things hoped for. It's also the evidence. Faith is the convincing argument. Brother Bill spends a lot of time before, I don't know if judges or juries, I'm not sure if you see a jury, but jurors were not at the place of the crime. They didn't see the event. They just sit there, they listen to what are they listening to? They are listening to the evidence. And the evidence is what convinces them to convict or exonerate the defendant. Isn't that true? They make a decision not on something they seen. They make a decision on the evidence that's been presented. The Bible says faith is the evidence. How does it go? The evidence of things not seen. Isn't that amazing? Let me give you a few examples. Some of you, I know we're getting away from this. Poland's completely gone from it. You still write a check. Yeah? Anybody still write checks? Anybody been ever given a check? Maybe you're a carpenter, maybe you're a worker, maybe you cut trees. I don't know what you do. Somebody hands you a check for the work you've done. Do you know what? You take that check by faith.
Right.
Did you know that? You thought, I don't need faith. You don't realize you exercise faith every day. You take that check, you go home to the wife and say, honey, I got paid. But you still don't have any money in your pocket. You don't have any idea whether there's enough money in that account to back that check or if that check's going to come back NSF, non-sufficient funds. You don't know, but by faith you take it. Yeah? Isn't it amazing that getting a check, even though you don't necessarily have all the proof of the funds, you take it by faith, it will change your attitude. Because before you got the check, you were poor. After that you got the check, you're happy. And nothing has changed but a promise.
Yeah.
A promise to pay.
Right. Amen.
Think about that for a while. Okay, maybe you're of this next generation. I don't even know what generation is. There's too many of them now. Apparently I was born in the, I don't even know what generation I was born in. The boomer. I'm a boomer. I don't know what you are, a TikToker or a Facebooker. I don't know what generation you're in, but one of them. Maybe you're one of those and you order something online. You Google it. And you reach out to Amazon and touch someone. No, that's AT&T. Let me see here. I'm getting my generations confused. But you go online and you see a little picture. Say, boy, I'd like to have that. Boy, I'd love to have that. That little ice making machine. I'd love to have that. And you give them your credit card number and then you look on your account and zoom, it's gone immediately. The money's out of your account. You're going, wow, what's going on? And you still don't have the product.
Right.
But you have faith.
Yeah.
And then just an hour or two later, the dog starts barking and out on your porch is the product.
Yeah.
Wow. Isn't that amazing how faith works? You do that every day.
Yeah.
Most of you have never seen Warsaw, Poland. Is that a true statement? There's probably a few here that have. I have. You've never seen Warsaw, Poland, but every one of you are convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt, no doubt, Warsaw, Poland exists. You've never seen it, but you believe it's there. Some of you have actually invested your money, your hard-earned money, and you went down to the airlines and bought yourself a ticket to fly over to go see Warsaw, Poland, based on the testimony of somebody else.
Yeah.
True.
You never saw it. You've never been there. You just heard somebody talking about it. Maybe you read about it in a book. Maybe somebody's been there and they came back and told you about it, but you invested your hard-earned earnings to fly over there and see it, and then you actually went over there, and there it was. Wow. And you took pictures, and you came back, and you told us about your trip to Warsaw, Poland, convincing us there is a Warsaw, Poland.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Did you know there are a lot of people in the world that would criticize that type of thing? They would say, you're going to invest your hard-earned money to go to a place you've never seen? You're going to invest your life? You're going to take a chance on something you never saw? Did you know what? Have you ever seen heaven? I'm investing my life in that it's there. How do I know it's there? Somebody's been there and they come back and told me about it. And they wrote it in a book. And I'm writing a check. Yeah? Faith. The evidence of things not seen. What is the source of thy faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Did you know that God expects preachers to preach the Word so that you might believe?
Yeah.
Did you know there's a lot of people in this world that have believed because some crazy preacher was standing on a corner preaching the good news that Christ came into the world to save sinners? Aren't you glad there's some people like that?
Amen.
Because that faith, if they had to stand out there and believe God and preach the Word, produced faith in your heart when you heard the Word of God. Some of you are convinced like I was because you saw the living Word of God in believers.
Yep.
You went to work every day and they were believers and they were happy every day. They had a good attitude. They weren't cussing, swearing. They didn't take God's name in vain. They were happy and content. They had a good attitude and you thought they were weird. Something wrong with these people. What's going on? And they told you about Jesus and it changed your life. Yeah. The living Word of God. Where does faith come from? It doesn't come from an image. It doesn't come from seeing something. It comes from hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
And if you're a believer, I'm sure there's that longing of faith, as the apostle said unto the Lord, Lord, increase our faith.
Amen.
Don't you say that?
Amen.
Because you're persuaded in your heart, I cannot please God without faith. And the cry of your heart is, oh God, increase my faith. I want to make you really happy.
Amen. Right.
Or as that father whose child was possessed with a dumb and deaf spirit, he comes to the Lord and he says, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh Lord, I believe, I know I'm convinced, I'm persuaded, but help my unbelief.
Amen.
Help me, Lord.
Amen.
John in chapter 20, you might want to turn over there. I'm going to read a few verses just to remind you of the incident. The Lord is resurrected. He had told the disciples over and over again for 3.5 years it was going to happen. Somehow it didn't sink in. Like it happens with us all the time. We come to church every Sunday. We hear the same messages over and over again. And somehow it just doesn't sink in.
Right.
Thomas, verse 24, John chapter 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. You know one of the reasons I come to church every Sunday? Jesus just might show up. I want to be there.
Amen.
And I don't want to have it happen to me. Hey, Brent, Jesus was with us last Sunday. Where were you? Yeah.
Amen.
The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. You know, that doesn't come from an atheist. That doesn't come from a rebel. It doesn't come from somebody that's, you know, anti-God or resisting God. It comes from a disciple that had been with the Lord for 3.5 years. He says, if I don't see it, I'm not going to believe it. Don't we have that temptation come to us?
Yes, sir.
Lord, I got to see it.
Yes, sir.
And he's saying, faith would make me happy. But Lord, I got to see it. I want to thrust my hand on the side. I got to feel it. Give me some feelings, Lord. But faith would make him happy. Isn't that a remarkable statement from a believer? I will not believe. Wow. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Thank God the story doesn't end there.
Amen.
Grace, marvelous grace. He giveth us more grace. Thank God he's got abundant grace.
Amen.
And the Bible says, and after 8 days again, the disciples were within and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus. The doors being shut and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, here comes the rebuke, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust into my side. Be not faithless, but believing.
Amen.
Do you hear his cry this morning, brethren?
Yeah.
Be not faithless,
amen,
but believing. God will go the extra mile to help you believe, to trust in him, but mark it down, without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Amen.
He's looking for faith. Then Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Oh, there's faith responding. Jesus said to him, Thomas, Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. So we get this play on words here. Because I've already affirmed that if you see it, it's not faith. And here it's saying that Thomas saw and he believed. Well, yes, obviously you can believe something that you see, but that's not faith. Let me try to explain the difference. Believing refers to the accepting something as true or real. It is primarily a cognitive process and often involves agreeing with certain facts, statements, and ideas. In fact, the Bible says that the devils believe in one God and they tremble. So you can be a certain of a fact and believe that fact and yet lack faith. Trusting, believing faith. Trusting goes beyond just believing in the truth of something. It involves the sense of confidence and reliance. Trust often includes the emotional and rational aspect of faith or trusting. And then faith, let me put it this way. Believing is about accepting something as true. Trusting is about having confidence and reliance in someone or something, and faith combines belief and trust often with added dimension of hope and spiritual conviction. As I said, the devils also believe and tremble. It's not a great thing to be aware of the fact that God exists. God's not impressed with that. That's an of course statement. Of course I exist. Just because you don't know about it doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of evidence out there. Bill has given us plenty of examples where God has demonstrated that he exists. Of course he exists. That's natural. You should naturally believe that God exists. You have enough evidence. But he's still looking for faith. Faith in that invisible God. Let me see if I can give you an example. Excuse my French. Because I'm going to pronounce his name. I'm going to try to pronounce him. Jean-François Gravelet. Excuse my French. Oui, oui. Jean-François Gravelet, better known as Charles Blondin. He was an acrobat in the 1850s, right here in America. He visited Niagara Falls. And whatever possessed him, I have no idea, but he got in his head, you know what? I'm going to stretch a cable across these falls and I'm going to walk across it. If you go back in your history books, you're going to see depictions of Charles Blondin walking across this wire across the Niagara Falls. In fact, in his day, they used it as a cartoon character of Abraham Lincoln carrying his cabinet across there in a wheelbarrow. Fascinating history. But the story goes that old Charles got that wire going across there and he did some remarkable things. Not only did he walk across it and back to amazing crowds that were watching, but he would go out there and he had put a chair, one leg on the chair, and he'd sit in the chair balancing on a cable across the Niagara Falls. That was a tremendous acrobat. I'd bet you'd pay $5.99 to go see that, wouldn't you? But one of the things he did, he'd take a wheelbarrow and he'd walk across with wheelbarrow across that thing. Then he'd fill it up, I don't know, with bricks or rocks or whatever, and then he'd walk back. And he'd get back on the side where the crowd was and he'd ask this question. How many believe that I can put a man in this wheelbarrow and walk across? All these people standing, yeah, I believe, man, I believe. And then he says, who's going to come and get in the wheelbarrow? You see, a lot of believers in the world. I believe. But not many have enough faith to get in the wheelbarrow.
That's right.
There's your difference.
Amen.
You're a believer in God, but do you have faith? Faith is that trust in God, that confidence in God. That confidence that you risk your life for Him. That you lay down your life for Him. Yeah, I'll get in the wheelbarrow, Lord. Because of you. You get out of the boat because you see Jesus walking on the water.
Amen.
That's what faith is. And God says, when I see that, that makes me happy. I know you're a believer, but do you have any faith? God says without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Here's a couple examples of faith in the Bible, and I marked these because Jesus marked them. He said, great is thy faith. Look over in Matthew in chapter 8, we have a centurion. I believe his child was sick of the palsy. We pick it up in verse 5, Matthew 8 and verse 5, and when Jesus was entered the Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. You want to please God? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him.
Amen.
What was the faith demonstrated here by this centurion? He wasn't like Naaman. He said, I got to see some great thing. The prophet's got to come out and, you know, call on God before me and do some great thing. Yes, then I'll believe. And aren't the waters in Damascus better than all the rivers in Israel? And then a servant comes up and just taps him on the shoulders and gives him a little insight about faith. He said, if the prophet had demanded some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? What's the big deal about going dipping yourself 7 times in the River Jordan? And you know what he did? He went and dipped himself 7 times and he came out clean. Yeah. This centurion, unlike so many Christians in our day, did not demand some great sign. I got to see a sign. I got to see him calling out fire down from heaven. Whether he responds with fire, then I believe. Or I got to speak in tongues. He said, speak the word only, Lord.
Amen.
I've got some practical experience. I have some authority. I say something and it gets done. And certainly, it's not stated, but certainly he recognized the Lord had authority.
Yeah.
Recognize if you're God in the flesh, then you could just speak the word and my servant's going to be healed. Just speak the word only. You don't got to come to my house. You don't got to make a big show of it. Just speak the word. It's going to be sufficient.
Amen.
Do you have any faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That centurion gave an example of faith. Let me give you one more. Also in the book of Matthew in chapter 15 and verse 22, the woman of Canaan. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sinned, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it at the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, listen to it, brethren. Listen to it. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Oh, don't you know the Lord was happy when he saw that?
Yeah.
Both of these cases, there was somebody ill and they went to Jesus for healing. That tells me it's okay to pray that God will heal you. It's all right to pray that away. But do you have faith? Do you have faith? Can you believe God? Let me tell you about this remarkable woman. There's some things here in this story is just remarkable to me. First of all, did you notice her importunity?
Amen.
I mean, it's not clearly written, but if you read the text, you'll see it's obvious her importunity. She didn't give up.
Amen.
She went back. She went to the disciples. The disciples said, get out of here. How many Christians, born again, Bible-believing Christians, give up on their faith because some disciple didn't have enough faith or didn't react to them accordingly? How many of you in this room down the line are going to get offended because some disciple offended you and you're going to give up and you're going to lose out because you lacked a little faith? You didn't have enough importunity to go back and ask again. It's frustrating to knock on the door and nobody answers. It's frustrating to call somebody and you know they're there, but they're not picking up. It's frustrating to try to make an appointment with somebody and they give you excuse after excuse after excuse. Yeah, a lot of things frustrate us. And things seem not to go our way. And we're not getting what we want. And that's discouraging. What happens when the Lord tells us, put up your sword? Yeah, but I have a different idea. We gotta fight this out, Lord. Put up your sword. We don't like it when the Lord rebukes us. And we go off moaning and crying and leave the church and lose our faith. But he says, without faith, it's impossible to please me. Are you letting a disciple rob you of pleasing the Lord? They might even be apostles. These were the apostles. Offended this poor woman. She had a need. And they're saying, get out of here. Leave me alone. Am I getting too close to home? We all got kind of quiet here. I was trying to encourage you, but you know what she said? Give me, I'm worthy. No, she says, have mercy on me.
Amen.
Have mercy on me.
Amen.
I know a lot of Christians go to God and think that, you know, they deserve something. You don't deserve anything.
Amen.
If God says no to you for the rest of your life, you ought to sing grace.
Amen.
Grace, marvelous grace.
Amen.
You didn't get to do what you wanted to do. So what? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Paul went to the Lord three times and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And you know how Paul responded? He responded with faith. How do you respond when it doesn't go your way? The inability of disciples to bless you does not mean that God cannot bless you. The frailties and weaknesses of believers, even pastors, does not mean that God cannot answer. And when the Lord Himself says, get out of here, we don't feed the dogs. How's that? How are you going to react? You can tuck your tail between the legs and go whimpering off, or you can stand and say, yeah, but Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs from the table. You can humbly respond to God, yea, Lord, I'm not worthy, but Thou art worthy, and You're a merciful God. Oh, God, give me some crumbs. And Jesus responds, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Do you have any faith this morning? Without it, you cannot please God. God's looking for some faith. You ready to get out of the boat and walk to Jesus? You ready to see God do some things? You're going to need some faith. Don't let a disciple hinder you. Don't let the rebuke of the Lord hinder you. The Lord does rebuke us plenty of times, deservingly. Yeah. Don't get discouraged because things don't get your way. Believe God. Place your faith in Him. And at the end of the day, He says, I like that.
Amen.
I like that. Is that what God's going to say about you? I like your faith. Great is your faith. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your mercy and your grace. I pray that you would have mercy upon us. Oh God, help us, help our unbelief. You are a great God. You deserve faith. We ought to have more faith to please you. And yet we lack it so often. I know I do. Have mercy upon us, oh God. Increase our faith, Lord. Have mercy. Bless this baptism. Today we thank you for her testimony. We pray that your name will be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This meeting is not over. We're going to step right out here and have a baptism, and then we'll conclude the meeting.